You ready? I'm ready. The Playmakers Bar Podcast present Hoops Talk, hosted by Darnell the Playmaker Solins. NBA, college basketball, playoffs, Mars Madness. No matter what, we talking hoops, man. Let's get it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope y'all been enjoying these past couple of weeks as I have, because it's been a great time. You know me, your host, the Playmaker Darnell Solins, out here in Jacksonville, Florida, bringing you this week's edition of Hoops Talk, and I brought a guest for you guys. She is the queen of hoop. She is sideline sport. She is the sepa. She does so many amazing things when it comes to basketball. Megan Price out in Texas, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm definitely awesome. You know, I'm just going to cut right to the chase, Megan. The reason why I wanted you on here, so we can talk women's. Because right. I want to give women their powers.
Right. You know, it was kind of predictable this year with the Final Four because we have three number ones. So not to say that it hasn't been extremely exciting, but you know, it wasn't like the men's. The men's, you only have one number one seed in the Final Four. We got South Carolina, Louisville, and Stanford all one seeds in the Final Four. And then we got UConn, too. So, man, the women's basketball has been super hot, especially that Elite Eight round. Every single one of those games was good.
First off, before we get into it, shout out to Don Staley, Coach of the Year for South Carolina. Right. And Aaliyah Boston, also of South Carolina, Player of the Year. And Defensive Player of the Year. So
absolutely, Aaliyah Boston has been something special to watch this season. And then in the postseason, gosh, that game that she had against UNC, she just killed it.
Yeah, she is killing it. Shout out to Creighton, because I did not see them getting to the Elite Eight.
Right, absolutely agree.
But they took care of the Iowa schools.
They did, and then they had a crash course with South Carolina. Goodness, they are just so fierce. So that was probably the only game that wasn't really close, 80-50 with South Carolina on top. So Creighton was just super outmatched.
And then I hate to do this. I hate to bring this up, but we did see Stanford take down Texas in the game afterwards.
That hurt my heart, but you know what? My favorite player who's not on my team is actually on Stanford, and so I enjoyed watching the game. It was an extremely physical game. If you guys didn't get a chance to catch it, two players fouled out, one from each team. There were scratches, bruises, a little bit of blood. Like, it was an excellent, excellent game.
I'm sorry, but I did pick the defending champs to get out of that.
You know what? In one bracket, in my integrity bracket, I picked Stanford, and then in my chaos bracket, I picked Stanford, or Texas.
I'm going to be honest with you, besides Michigan and Creighton, I had just about all the Elite Eights.
Same. I picked Michigan in my Final Four, so that one took me by surprise. Louisville was a little bit tougher than I gave them credit for. I thought that they were, I said this a couple of times, a fraudulent number one seed because they had a little rough little run at the end of their season, but man, they proved me wrong. But Michigan, you know, to their credit, they need to go ahead and retire Hillman's jersey. She's the only player to wear a 00. I think she needs to be the only one to wear a 00 for that team. So
this is where I get my sarcastic. Thank you, South Dakota State. I had Baylor in a Final Four.
South Dakota State. Who expected that? And then they played Michigan so well. Like, they played them 52-49, really low scoring game. And just tons of defense. Loved it.
It felt like Baylor gave up to me. But that's another story for another day.
It does feel like that. I felt like they were really defeated in the Big 12 championship. Go UT. You know, and I felt like they just kind of brought that energy into the tournament.
And speaking of Louisville, taking down Michigan 60-50. It was a competitive game, but then, you know, Louisville started to pull away and there's nothing Michigan
can
do. It was
really competitive until that last minute. It reminded me of the Texas-Stanford game. Like, I didn't feel like Stanford really beat us until that very last minute of the game. And that's what I feel about Michigan, too. Like, Louisville, they hung with Louisville until that very last minute. And then, you know, it was just all gas with Louisville.
But the game of the tournament, and I am including the men's too, the game of the entire Magnus, UConn NC State, pays buckets. Became a superstar again.
She did. She went for 27-1-6. So we haven't seen her have a breakout performance like this since before the injury. Every
the
game
27 points don't get me. It's the 15 points she did in overtime.
Right. Yeah. No, she just willed them into the next round completely and totally, because Kai Crutchfield hits a couple of three-pointers that were really clutch for NC State as well, and kept their momentum going. So this was an incredibly close game. It was so good to watch. I felt bad for NC State because kind of felt like this was their year to do it, but didn't turn out that way. UConn moving on to the Final Four.
Megan can vouch me for this because I have said this many times. Who did I call the monster of the tournament?
Definitely.
Who did I say? Who's the monster of the tournament?
Definitely UConn. I mean, you don't want to face them in the finals. Like, if they're going to get knocked out, Stanford's going to have to do that this round. Like, because UConn is 11-0 in with Geno in the finals or in the championship game. So in the final four round, I think he's 11-10. So you're more likely to beat him in the final four round than you are the championship round.
I just knew I said, darn, UConn's there at number two.
Yeah.
I feel bad. And I love to say NC. I said, oh, Lord, NC State got to be the first victim.
Mm-hmm.
But shout out. That was a hell of a game. I enjoyed the hell. Some people might push back and call the Arizona TCU game for the men's side. And I watched that game. That was
a hell of a game. Oh, man.
That was a hell of a game.
It was a good game. I'm just so disappointed in Arizona. You know, they, I had them picked to win it, honest.
We're going to get to the men's sides in a minute, though. I'm just saying for people who might want to push back, I know what game you're looking at, but you're talking about this the first time you had an Elite Eight double overtime game. It's from the ladies' side, and these girls put it all on the line.
Most definitely.
I seen a lot of clutch shots being made, and I was just impressed.
Like I said, Kai Crutchfield, in that NC State UConn game, like, she had two different threes that kept them going and pushed them over into overtime and then into double overtime. Like you said, it was the one and only double overtime Elite Eight game that there is. Paige. It was all Paige. Don't get me wrong. Like, UConn is a well-oiled machine. They have more than just Paige there. You know, they have Westbrook. They have Azzy Fudd. Like, they have a very good system. But like you said, those 15 points in overtime, man, Paige wasn't losing.
She was not losing. She was definitely not losing. So your Final Four is South Carolina, Stanford, Louisville, and UConn. And as we get to the Final Four, which will be Friday, first up is Louisville, South Carolina. I already picked South Carolina to win the whole thing, so there's no point in me of trying to explain what's going to happen in this game, so I'll leave it to you. South Carolina, Louisville.
Okay, so I feel like South Carolina is going to come out victorious as well, but I think it's going to be a closer game. Louisville is so much tougher than I gave them credit for. Haley Van Lith, she worked with Kobe. And, you know, at the end of that game that with Michigan, she said, you know, what he would tell me is that we're not done yet. Go finish the job. So, you know, I feel like she's bringing that right mentality to the game. So it's going to be really close. But I think South Carolina comes out victorious on that.
Is it something to be said to have the right mentality, but you're just going against the wrong team?
I mean, South Carolina is so much. It's more than just Aaliyah Boston. They've got Zai Cook. They've got several other ladies over there that are just so good. So, and then you have Dawn Staley, who's running the show over there. You know, I don't think there's a whole lot that you can say for her other than that. You know, her programs is what it is. She's the highest paid coach for a reason. She got a $22 million deal. There is a reason that she's there.
I mean, if y'all don't want to take my word for it, go back and see what they did in North Carolina in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
And be talking about North Carolina was on a run here.
Man, she had a career. Aaliyah Boston had a career night on UNC. And UNC had an excellent run. No one expected them to make it that far in the men's or the women's. And, you know, they had an excellent run. Good for them. Great season. But, you know,
they ran into a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
And then Creighton followed suit and ran into a buzzsaw.
Indeed.
I'm just saying, South Carolina is different.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there's times where in this tournament, they had a couple of games that were a little closer than they anticipated. I think there was like a 12-point deficit in one of these games, and that was it. But I want to say I think South Carolina played down. They played down to the competition. I think they wanted to keep people on their toes, let them think they're going to the next round and that you got something up on them. They're going to show you what South Carolina is.
So that's South Carolina, Louisville. I got South Carolina now.
Same.
The nightcap. Number 2, UConn. Number 1, Stanford. They're the reigning defending champs trying to defend their crown. But they are going against that team that I call the Monster. And even Vegas don't even know how to feel about it because they got Steph as a 1.5 favorite.
Right. Yeah. No, I would probably feel the same way. Stanford, what surprised me most, like when we were talking about that Texas game, Stanford is known for being a well-oiled machine, offensive machine. And yes, they do have excellent defenders, but they brought a different intensity for Texas. And I think that's something that they're probably going to continue on pushing. And so expect them to be an extremely physical team. I don't know if UConn is a really well-oiled offensive machine as well, but I don't know if their defense is as good as Stanford. So I'm looking to Stanford going to having the slight edge, and it's the same with Vegas, about 1.5.
I'm taking the Monsters.
Okay.
I'm not backing off that I said the Monsters. I called them the Monsters for a reason.
I picked Stanford to win the whole thing, so I gotta ride with them.
It's bad when you ain't been in the main talk of about what 4 or 5 years when it comes to UConn.
True, yeah.
And people understand when you're in the bracket with UConn, look out.
Right, absolutely.
I will say this before I switch over to the men, and when it comes to UConn, I think, and I'm gonna shout out to my girls over at UCF, the Central Florida Knights, because I think that game pushed you. Made you can understand, like, this ain't the normal type of tournament that you are used to, and you can just run through everybody. Because if UCF would have made their free throws, they would have pulled off the upset of all upsets. Let's just be honest.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, there's just a lot of talent that's spread throughout this year, and you know, I think you have to give some of these mid majors their credit. You know, Florida Gulf Coast with Kirsten Bell, like they have some excellent talent that is not necessarily on a powerhouse. Like, you know, I think sometimes you need to look at Caitlin Clark, and everyone's, you know, they like to compare to her against Paige Beckers. And it's just like, I don't know if you should compare them, because Paige is on a team that is a system, and Caitlin is the team.
Yeah, so. Gino, I need you to win one more game for me, and then you can lose. Because I got South Carolina winning it on Sunday night.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, I'm going with number 1 overall here. Okay. Which is not a shock, because I did the same thing with the men's, and we seen how that turned out.
Yeah, I understand. Arizona.
And speaking of the men, let's travel over to the men's side. So nothing but blue down in New Orleans, Louisiana. Who ever would have thought this? Nothing but blue. Duke, UNC, Villanova, Kansas, your Final Four. First off, shout out to St. Peter's Peacocks. First ever 15 seed to get to the Elite Eight.
Right.
But you had to know at some point in time somebody was going to knock them off, and it just happened to be the Carolina Blue.
Indeed. I wasn't too surprised by this. I was surprised by them beating Purdue. I was not surprised by them losing to UNC. Purdue dropped the ball in the Sweet 16. They looked incredibly soft in the lane. They looked like they gave up with about 10 minutes left in the second half. So they just looked really defeated to me. Now, not to take credit away from St. Peter's, because they are an extremely well-coached team. And not just their head coach. They have some really excellent assistant coaches. And, you know, all credit to them, because they came out victorious 67-64. But, you know, then when you run up against somebody like UNC, which even though Purdue was seeded higher with the 3 seed, UNC's at the 8 seed, but they're on a win. They're on a win streak. Also, they won the last 5 games of the season. Then they beat Duke, and then they came into the tournament and they beat Baylor. So, I, at this point in time, I want to say I'm most impressed with UNC.
Here's my thing when it comes to Purdue, because I noticed this. Now, I know you have your center who's like 7'4". I get it. But Jaden Ivey, I needed more from him.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's just the nature of the tournament. Every single player, like we saw Caitlin Clark got knocked out in the Sweet 16 too. Like, every single player's going to have a bad shooting night. And when it happens in the tournament, it's one and done, and you got to go home.
See, for me, I just think, like, Ivy, he didn't want to take over the game. In the tournament, you got to have players that take over the game. I'm going to give you an example in a minute, okay, about a player taking over a game. Because we seen it with Paige Becker in overtime. North Carolina, you had about 3 guys take over when it was time to take over.
Right.
It's like somebody that say, you know what, give me the ball, let's get this over with. That's why UNC's in the Final Four. They play Duke in the Final Four. You know why? Because this guy by the name Jeremy Roach against Michigan State and Arkansas that say, you know what, I think it's time for me to take over.
Right, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was more surprised by Texas Tech than any of the other ones in this round, in the Sweet 16 round. I thought Texas Tech had Duke. I thought they had them figured out. I thought that defense was going to come. But you know what? Duke got to roll in that last couple of minutes, and Tech just couldn't hang. They couldn't sink their shots. So, you know, no matter how much of a defense you were playing, if your shots aren't going in, and missed free throws, that was something of this game as well.
Has that always been a theme of the tournament, miss free throws? Every tournament is miss free throws. It's like, if you just make your free throws, then, you know, things happen.
Absolutely.
I'm going to shout out to Coach K, because who would ever thought to do a 2-3 defense in the tournament? You know what? We're going to go for right. Man. We're going to go to 2-3. And Tessa said, looked like they didn't know how to figure out the two-three zone.
Indeed. And that's just something from the experience out of that coach right there and with his program. Not to say that Mark Adams doesn't have experience with his program, because he was an assistant and moved up to head coach after their other coach left for Texas. So, but he knew the players, he knew the system. But it's different when it's Coach K, because he's been doing it so long on this level. You know, just at this high level of competition. So, you know, his record speaks for itself.
And speaking of Duke, let me get into them beating Arkansas. And before I get into that, let me get to a player that I am familiar with and part of the reason why my champion got beat in the Sweet 16. For those of you who listen to the show, y'all know I'm a Gator fan, so you kind of figure out who I'm going to go at. Andrew Nembhard.
Right. Indeed.
So you're telling me against Gonzaga, you decided to go for a 20 piece, and then you get to Arkansas, and then you can't hit a float shot. You can't make free throws. Now you're scared to take shots. What happened?
I mean, just a test of the pressure of that situation, I think. And like I said before, once you have one of those bad shooting nights, everybody's going to have them. Doesn't matter how good of a player you are. We've seen Steph Curry go through a bad shooting lull this season. Like, everybody's going to have them. But the problem, the difference in March is you have one bad performance and you got to go home.
I mean, I'm looking like if Nembhard can just get out of his own head, they might have a chance to win the game.
I mean, indeed, very much so. I'm taking UNC, though.
I shouldn't be surprised, though, because he played for Florida. I should have seen this coming.
Right. Very true.
But, hey, they got to the Elite Eight, and then they ran into Duke. And like I said, Jeremy Roach in the second half, they say, you know what? I'm taking over. Y'all not going to stop us.
Right. Excellent game. 78-69. Like I expected it to be a little bit closer than that, even though that isn't a huge deficit. I felt like this was going to be an extremely physical game, and it just
don't let that score fool y'all. It was not that. It was lopsided. Once Duke gained control of that, they was not letting it up because Arkansas was and like, that, ain't nothing dropping.
And that was my point. Like, you know, that looks like it was like a closer game than it really was. Those last couple of minutes, Duke was just completely took over the game. Arkansas looked gas. It looked like they quit playing defense altogether.
So we gonna come back to the juicy matchup of round three. But let's go to the other side. Now, you had Villanova and Houston going at it. I was on the edge of my seat.
Absolutely. I had Villanova coming out. You had Villanova coming out. I had Houston coming out of that one. So my bracket was all the way messed up.
I don't know. Houston did me my favor because I probably was like one of the few people who had them beating Arizona. Because, you know, when I watched Arizona play, I say, I get the hype, but there is Houston in this bracket, and I seen Houston play, and Houston play exactly the type of game that I thought it was going to play that was going to get Arizona problems. They are big. They are tall. Mm-hmm. They are physical.
Right, yeah.
Arizona don't match up that well. To most people think, oh, because they play great defense. Playing great defense is more than just what the stats say.
Absolutely.
Houston plays great defense. Texas Tech plays great defense.
Right.
But when you Houston and you're physical with it, that's a different challenge.
It definitely shook up Arizona, absolutely. I had Arizona winning it all, and then whenever I redid my bracket after Arizona got knocked out, I thought Houston was going to bring that same energy with Villanova, but Villanova, I mean, it was a close game, low-scoring game, but, you know, Villanova did what they did.
My thing with Villanova is Jay White. So if you know anything about Jay White, you're not going to force them into mistakes. That's one thing.
Right, yeah.
They're going to take the best shot available. They're not just going to get a shot, see it's open, and shoot it. No, is it open? No, it's not the best shot. Kick the ball around.
And I love that type of system ball. It reminds me of the Spurs because they're going to go for the two. They're going to go for the guaranteed two over the three most nights. And I enjoy that. It's nice to have a sweet jump shot, but I enjoy that systematic ball. Go for the shot that you know is guaranteed going to go in.
So that's why I chose Villanova to get out, because it's Jay White. I know the system. Mm-hmm. It's clean basketball.
Right.
And when you play clean basketball, you can win any type of game because it's clean. And then every now and then you have your star make a couple of key shots. Colin Gillespie, for example. Made some key shots.
Indeed.
Villanova moves on with a 6-point win. And then we get to... Now, whoever had... If you had Miami in the Elite Eight, please tell me you played a jackpot.
Right? No, I did not. I definitely had Iowa.
I definitely didn't have Miami.
No, me either. And, you know, they had a nice run, but they were so outmatched with Kansas. And I can't believe how much I really slept on Kansas. I'm Big 12. Y'all know I'm UT. But UT beat them once this season. Texas Tech beat them once this season. I was just really sleeping on them. I didn't know if they were built for a deep tournament run. Here they are, proving me wrong. The only number one seed in it.
I had Kansas.
Okay.
I had Kansas. And I think the thing was I was waiting for the moment when they put it together. When everything came together, and it came again against Miami.
Definitely. Didn't have to take what? Miami so wasn't shots. Even supposed to be there.
So, you know, Abachi didn't have to take so many shots. McCormick can do his thing inside. It all came together in that game. And I was like, that's the team I've been waiting on right there.
Indeed. But, you know, when Kansas played Providence, you know, that was a really close game. 66-61. It was a lot of shots in that last quarter in those last couple of minutes, and it was back and forth. So I thought that Kansas looked a little shook, but, you know, I knew they were going to beat Miami for sure.
So I didn't get the left half correct, but I did get the right half correct. It shows you how great I did. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, Megan, I have never had my bracket destroyed so quickly in all my life.
Kentucky. Thank you.
I even haven't had my bracket destroyed, so I'm like, this is the worst I have ever done. Look, and it's chaos, good. And it would be the time I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to get noticed out here, and then my bracket is just gone. Like, I said, well, I still got my national champions, and then the Sweet 16 happened. I'm like, but damn. Okay.
Look, I did all right on my chaos bracket in the women's. It actually went a little further than I expected, but the men's, no, I did not do well this year. There were several in the first round. I thought Colorado State was going to win.
So you did what I did. It looked good. And they just couldn't make no more shots. I'm like, dang, y'all just couldn't make some more shots. Y'all had it. Hey.
Yeah. So very first game, mine was busted.
I know. I'm glad you brought up Colorado State, because I'm going to shout out to Jerron Howard, because he was criticized. I did it on my last episode, but I'm going to do it again. All the criticism that he got for what happened in Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. That man took his team to the Sweet 16.
Sure did. Much further than anybody really thought. And when they beat Tennessee, we saw him console one of the players for Tennessee. And, I think that just goes to show that, you're not defined by one action.
Kenny Chandler, that would be the
player. Right. You're not defined by one action in your entire life. Like, we all know who Jawan is. Like, this was it was a bad incident, and I don't condone what he did by any means. But to me, that just shows that he had to have been provoked.
And things happen, but he got his team to a Sweet 16. But you just ran into Villanova, and I'm just like, y'all not beating Villanova. I don't care.
Right. So.
All right, Queen of Hoops. Yeah, Villanova in Kansas kicking off Saturday's festivities.
I am taking Kansas.
She's going Kansas. Why you like Kansas?
I'm going to go Big 12. I don't like them. I hate them. But I think they're going to come out on top on Villanova.
She's going Kansas. I'm taking Nova.
Okay.
I picked Nova to get to the championship game anyway, so... At least I can say I got one championship team correct.
Right.
But I didn't believe, like I said, it's Jay White and it's that offense. You get the best available shot. Not right. The okay shot, not the good, the best shot you can get. And the thing is, people don't really think about, they play some good defense as well.
Right.
Because you have to get the best available shot that you can get.
Very true.
Because one of the reasons why they can beat a team like Houston, because if you don't get the best available shots, they are on the glass.
Yes.
So McCormick, Abachi, can y'all get on the glass? Because if y'all not getting on the glass with Villanova, it could be a bad day for Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks.
Indeed. I don't know. I think that they're just going to bring that energy. Like everybody, I think a lot of people slept on them. Didn't see them making it this far.
Apparently not all of them. I did have them in the Final Four, so.
Not a lot of people did. I think a lot of us were sleeping. I think almost everybody in this area, I'll say, was probably high on Texas Tech. And I don't know if that was just regional because we were glad somebody from the area was there, but even Texas, we had beat them once, so I didn't see it with Kansas. But here they are, and I think they're just going to ride off that energy. So I think they make it to the championship game.
Hey, congratulations, y'all! Y'all had three schools out of Texas make it.
Indeed, I don't count Baylor.
Oh, at four. even though Baylor forgot how to play for the first 30 minutes of that damn game.
Indeed.
it took somebody getting ejected for them to find a wake up. It's like, we down 25. Okay, we can come back.
Right, yeah. That was such an upset.
But hey, she has Kansas, I have Villanova. I'm rolling with Jay White. I can't help it.
All right.
And then it is round three. The world wanted it, but they wasn't sure they was gonna get it.
Right. Well, I think there's a lot of people out there that'll dispute that. They would have said that, you know, this was probably pre-planned. I don't think it was pre-planned. I don't think anybody expected UNC to be there just playing with house money, even though, you know, their coach took over Roy Williams' system and it was already in place whenever he got there.
If somebody out there saying this was pre-planned, please show me in your car that show Baylor will be down 25 to North Carolina.
Exactly.
You're talking Baylor. The reigning defending champions were down 25. Nobody seen that coming.
You're right.
Nobody seen Pete taking out Kentucky in the first round.
No, definitely not me. I thought if there was anybody out of that region that was going to come out, was going to be Kentucky. That was my opinion.
And that's why. Kentucky.
You can see what we get. You know what? And because of that, I got to go UNC.
And to be honest, if Texas Tech can figure out a 2-3 defense, they will beat Duke.
I was of that opinion too.
That's all that was.
Yeah.
Trust me, this was not pre-planned. They had to work. These teams had to work their butt up to get here. And I kind of figured North Carolina would beat UCLA because, you know, it's a battle of blue bloods, and it's like, yo, we the better blue blood, okay?
Right, yeah. UCLA had a great season, though, so, you know, no knock to them. Not super surprised that they lost that game, but like you said, battle of the blue bloods, and UNC has been doing something real special. Just even since before the tournament started, like they really started gelling together. They got beat a lot early on in the season, and by a lot. And so we weren't even sure they were going to be here. And then they came in, they were ranked nationally 25th when they came into the tournament, and high off of that beating Duke. I think they do it again Saturday night.
Duke said they wanted North Carolina again. Well, North Carolina got beat in the ACC tournament. Was that by the Virginia Tech Hokies? I believe so. And then Duke did not win the ACC championship. Right. Who won that conference again? Oh, that would be the Virginia Tech Hokies out of all people.
Right.
So everybody running each other, and Virginia Tech standing right there was saying, nah.
Right, yeah.
By the way, that was a hell of a shooting performance in the championship game, by the way, for Virginia Tech. I have never thought I would see a Virginia Tech team shoot like that.
Right. Definitely.
But now we here again. Coach K is still dancing. The players get the team to who they wanted.
Right. Put up or shut up.
Ben Carroll, hey, people saying you might be the number one pick of the draft. This game is circled on everybody's schedule for Saturday. This game is circled 9:30. It's even circled on my schedule because I'll be doing WD watching WrestleMania and this game at the same time.
Right? Yeah. No. Tons of people are talking about WrestleMania too. So
I'm just saying, the UNC, like you said, they come up out. They went into Cameron Indoor and beat Duke. They came back and beat Duke. They didn't just beat them. They came back and beat Duke.
Right.
And made Coach K apologize to everybody in attendance.
He said it was unacceptable. He said it was unexpected and unacceptable.
Yes, I did not see North Carolina beating Duke and Cameron Indoor. I'm like, this is Coach K's last game. Y'all already went to Chapel Hill and beat the brakes off them the first time. Why not do it again? Let's put an exclamation mark on it. Look, they came out. Here we go. You got UNC. I picked Texas Tech to do the job. They didn't get it done. Like I said, I had Gonzaga get to the championship game, which means they would be the Duke, but they got knocked out by Arkansas, and I knew Arkansas wasn't going to do it.
I knew Gonzaga looked shaky when they played Memphis.
I didn't. I expected that. Because
not the Hardaway's program, but I really felt like it was closer of a game than expected, especially them being a number one seed like that.
Really, that was my only word with Kenny, because I was mentioned because, like Pete Hardy said, when he did his ring, his team wasn't healthy. He didn't have all his guys. They finally got all their guys, and you saw what happened. When he had all his guys, that was a whole different Memphis team. Athletic. run after it. They do, they'll do it all. So I was like, okay, they got past the main test. Now they can keep it moving.
Indeed, indeed. But who are you taking?
Do I do it one last time? And hope I get it. All right, Herbert Davis. I'm putting the pressure on you, man. I'm rolling with Carolina Blue here.
There you go. We agreed on one.
And Lord have mercy, if Carolina Blue does it again, that rivalry going to go to a whole nother level.
Man, no lie.
Because they, North Carolina can have the right to say we ended Coach K career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he may not retire.
Hey, I'm taking Nova in Carolina. Either way, I'm getting a blue blood. I'm getting a blue blood matchup in the championship game. So,
most definitely.
So Monday night's gonna be absolutely lovely for me.
Love it. Tons of great basketball this weekend. I'm excited for both women's and men's.
But y'all better be watching the ladies, man, because these ladies are out here balling.
Hey, you know what? Instead of saying y'all better be watching them, I'm gonna say it's the highest viewership that this tournament has ever had, men's or women's. You know, so I think people are really starting to pay attention to that. And, you know, I think you got to give people their flowers while they're here. So, you know, appreciate y'all for watching the women's game and, you know, giving it the shine that it deserves, because it's still very exciting basketball. It may not be the same game you watch in the men's, but it's still very exciting basketball.
I do have one great wit when it comes to the women's game.
What's that?
Can we get out of this thing of Greensboro, Spokane, Bridgeport? Can we do West, East, and South and Midwest like the men?
Yeah, I would prefer that. So.
I mean, quite frankly, if there's a knock on what the NCAA tournament has done, you get UConn whole court advantage pretty much. they never left Connecticut the whole time.
And then the South Carolina, the way their bracket was set up, don't get me wrong, they're the best team in the country. But the way their bracket was set up, it was pretty obvious they were going to be where they are.
Oh, I get South Carolina. That's your one seed.
Yeah.
But your one seed in Bridgeport was North Carolina State. But your second seed is from the state that you're in.
Indeed, indeed.
Connecticut never left Connecticut.
Indeed. To get to Minnesota. I agree. But you know what? It's still an exciting tournament. And you know what? The ladies that are going to be entering into the draft were announced today, or that had filed to be included, the inclusion to be into the, go into the draft today. So there's some news right there. This year, next year, and the year after, the drafts are so heavy. So expect the WNBA to look different very soon.
I'm looking forward to that. And shout out to the Chicago Skies as they get ready to defend their crown.
Hey, I got on my Dallas Wings shirt right now.
So, hey, that should be fun. So, one recap for the men. I have North Carolina Nova in the championship game. The Queen of Hoops have North Carolina Kansas in the game. So, if Duke wins, we both look stupid.
There you go.
And for the women's side, the Queen has South Carolina and Stanford. I have South Carolina and UConn. So if Louisville somehow pulls this off, we look even more stupid.
Okay. You ain't lying. Both of those look like excellent matchups, though.
So that's the Queen of Hoops. And let the people know what they can look forward to when it comes to the Sip Off, because I know y'all been looking for me to come back.
Absolutely. The Sip-Off is tomorrow. It's at 8:15 Eastern. We have drinks. We talk all things basketball, women's, men's, high school, college, professional, all international play. We talk anything basketball. So bring your drink. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just search Queen of Hoop. Look for the NBA Carousel, Sports Arena, and WNBA Carousel. And one more show that's going to drop real soon.
Oh, you got one dropping real soon. I like it.
I got WNBA Carousel coming in like 2 weeks, and then I have another one coming about 3 weeks after that, and it's an all-female cast.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Hey, go ahead and make this announcement now. I think it's a good time to make it. This is going to be the last season of this podcast being called Hoops Talk. It's getting rebranded to something different. I already have my logo. I already have my intros ready. So y'all in for a upgrade when it comes to me talking basketball, because I have a lot of people they love the way I talk basketball. So
love it. Congratulations.
But I'm looking forward to it, and y'all gonna love this. I'm getting everything set up for next season. It should be fun, and I will be bringing more guests on this time. So, and awesome. Megan will definitely be one of them.
Absolutely, I would love to come back.
So that is my girl Megan Price, the queen of hoops. I am the playmaker down in Silence out here in Jacksonville, Florida. This has been Hoops Talk. I'll catch y'all later.
Woo! I hope you guys enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoy bringing it to you. So if you want to stay updated and know when new episodes of Hoops Talks come out, subscribe and follow to the podcast. You can do this on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Speaker.com, or any of your favorite platforms, including iTunes/Apple Podcasts. And for those of you who are listening on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, go ahead and drop a rate and review of the podcast to let us know how we're doing, how we can improve. And for those of you who want to see any other podcasts that we got going on, go ahead and subscribe to our website, theplaymakersblog.com, and you can see all the podcasts that we do. Until next time for Hoops Talk, it's your boy, the Playmaker, Donnell Sala, signing off.